The question is this: what is it that has some of us find our way to the top of our game, to overcome adversity and challenges, resistance and self-sabotage, to rise from the ashes time and time again? What is it that has everyday people just like you and I act boldly in the name of their passions and live out their wildest dreams in this lifetime? That is the question, and this podcast has the answers. My name is Carrie McCauley, and this is Choose Unstoppable.
Hello, and welcome to Choose Unstoppable. My name is Carrie McCauley, and today we are joined by Elizabeth Hill. Elizabeth, thank you so much for being here. You guys, wait until I share just a sliver of what Elizabeth has accomplished. So she's an attorney in her own law firm, might I add. She owns a winery, bistro, and vineyard. She's the host of the recently launched podcast called Legit Endeavors, and that focuses on small business strategies and avoiding common legal pitfalls. To top it all off, she's a mother of four. And I know the list goes on and on. So I'm really excited to talk to you today. I'm really excited about all the lessons we're going to get. But first and foremost, thank you for being here and welcome.
Oh my goodness. Thank you, Carrie. I'm thrilled to be here.
I'm so grateful. Okay. So I only know like a tiny bit about you. So I'm just as excited to hear about everything you have to share. And I know part of what you talk about as an entrepreneur, as you know, a very varied entrepreneur and very diverse entrepreneur, is mindset and resiliency. And I think we're going to be able to get so much from you in that area today, and how they really are the keys to success. And so I'd love to hear your take on that. But first, obviously, I'd love just to give us a little background on who you are, how you got to here, all of those incredible accomplishments. So a little bit about your journey and then just really how mindset and resiliency has been an important or key part for you.
Oh, definitely. Well, I've had a little bit of a winding road to where I am now. I actually got a degree in psychology and went into counseling at first. And honestly, I believe that gave me wonderful insight to mindset and working with people and all of those things that are just so, so important. And then I had the bug to go to law school, and I'd always wanted to. And I decided, you know, I'm just going to check into it. And doors just kept flying open, and it just seemed like it was right. And it was. I got to the law school and thought, I am surrounded by my people, and this is what I'm supposed to do. And so, and you know, I had three kids at that time. Wow. And I was a single mom. Mm-hmm. And I did get married in the middle of law school to a wine grape grower. And so, and since then, had another wonderful son. I have two girls and two boys, and it's just an adventure, and we're having a lot of fun.
Oh, so incredible. I mean, first off, you know, congrats on really finding yourself and discovering yourself and having the courage to do what it takes to follow through on all of that. But with the added circumstances of being a single mom, I think there are a lot of times that we lose that part of ourselves and, you know, the drive for what's best for us. And so, you know, can we just like shine a light on that for a moment? What was that portion like? Was it hairy? Did it feel destined? Was it, you know, just what was that like for you going through something that, you know, going through as a single person is already daunting, let alone going through as a mother, and then let alone going through as a single mother? What was that experience like for you?
Well, it was interesting. I, you know, what I remember most about it is that I was very excited about the possibility. But I did get some reactions from a few people that were somewhat discouraging. And I had to really, you know, do some self soul searching to make sure I was committed to doing it, because I knew it was going to be a lot of work. And I knew there was a lot of reading and all kinds of things that you really have to dedicate yourself to. And so that was the main thing that I remember about that time. I did have my son was very young whenever I applied. He was just a year old. And so I can see how, you know, a few people were a little surprised that I thought, well, hey, you're a single mom. You've got like a 1, 5, and 6 year old. Why don't you go to law school? And I think I messed up their ages, but around those ages.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was exciting. And you know what I remember? I went to Texas Tech University, which is here in Lubbock. They were very encouraging and they were very accommodating as well. So I was in what was called the parent section. And the way law school works the first year, I think most law schools are this way. You are in what's called a section and you're with the same people in all your classes for the most part. And that kind of helps because you can, you know, work together on things that you can work together on and study together. And I was in the section that started a little bit later in the day so that they could allow us to get our kids to school.
Wow.
And so, you know, that was just, that was another affirmation that, hey, I'm going to the right place and I'm so glad I made this decision. And there were other parents there, but it was just such a huge leap. And I can see how, you know, a few people were kind of surprised by it. But I found that I was not going to let myself get discouraged or detoured or doubt myself. Although, it, you know, it was intimidating and I had my moments as well, but lots of confirmation that I did the right thing.
Incredible. Yeah. Congratulations. So then I'm assuming the husband is the pathway to the vineyard, or his passion for grapes, if you will, is the pathway to the vineyard. Is that how that came to be?
Yes. So he had been growing wine grapes for several years when I met him, and he was not yet making wine. He was selling his wine grapes to other wineries. Mm. And so that was neat. Whenever I met him, I had very limited experience with wine. My favorite wine was like the Moscato that you could pick up at Walgreens or somewhere like that. I think they even have like the giant bottles that are bigger than normal
like
bottles.
Like a handle on it.
I know. Yeah. And it was just, you know, cheap and it tasted good to me, sweet wine. That's the way a lot of people start. But since then I've come to grow to love wine. Mm. And as he likes to say, my taste now is much more expensive.
I'm sure he wishes sometimes it was still the Moscato.
Right. But we took that approach. We have a wonderful Moscato that we offer at Berkeley Hill Vineyards because I know personally that a lot of people start drinking wine that way. So we want to encourage that and bring them along and introduce them to Texas wine. So
great. Yeah, that sounds super interesting. And I love that there's, you know, that's a passion business, like following a real passion and real heart. And have you always had this kind of entrepreneurial drive? Like even so you went to law school, but then you kind of branched out on your own as an attorney, you and your husband have your own vineyard. And has that been the dream since the beginning, or have you just veered off as like, how did just all of these entrepreneurial ventures come to be?
Well, it's definitely stronger now in my life than it was earlier, but I did have a little bit of a role in a startup business before that. And, you know, I really love and enjoy the freedom that being self-employed gives you. Of course, we're also finding this year that it's a lot of challenges as well. So that was my main motivation recently. And I just love it. I love being able to make those decisions and deciding whose case I'll take in my law practice and what I want to focus on there. And that's been really rewarding.
Yeah, that's great. Have you noticed that COVID has impacted those two businesses specifically, or have you been able to kind of dodge it?
Well, so the winery and restaurant definitely impacted. We were closed. So we just opened our new location in Lubbock in March, early March, March 4th, in fact. And I think it was March 20th that we got the word that we were about to shut back down. And we did. And we adjusted and learned how to do to-go really fast. We'd not done one to-go order before that happened because we were still just getting our feet wet. Yeah. And so we just adjusted really, really fast. And it was tough there especially when we were not open. And then since then, it's been good, but somewhat unpredictable. And there have been some additional scares, of course, where people do want to stay home. And we understand that and we respect it. And so we've definitely seen it there. I've not seen as much of an impact on my law office career. But I do wonder what it would have been like. Most of my clients are also small businesses. And so I know some of them have struggled this year. Some have just continued on like a regular year. And so it's just been really interesting and a bit unpredictable at times.
Yeah. What would you say has been your most challenging lessons or your most challenging experiences? Because, I mean, everything sounds incredible and you're obviously very, driven and persistent to make things happen. But there's always, if you don't mind me asking such a personal question, there's always the bumps and the bruises that come along with that. Where have your like real learning moments come from so far in your career?
I think that this year it's just been a lot of learning to sit back and understand that things may be unpredictable this year. And it's, you know, it's something that I think innately I do have a strong growth mindset where I just continue to think, well, you know, we'll figure this out. But there's a lot of stuff that's just out of our control this year. And so that's been tough. It's tough for multiple reasons, but even planning on how many staff to schedule for any given night, it's been really unpredictable. And so that's been a challenge. But also, back in March, right whenever we had opened, we had just hired a whole bunch of people. And so that was really tough. And we didn't necessarily let anyone go. We just could not give them the number of hours that they were getting before. And so that was hard and a big challenge. And we just tried to do everything we could to keep business going during that time and to keep our employees, you know, still having somewhat of an income. And it was tough, but it's been a good challenge. And I just keep thinking, wow, if we're doing this well during a pandemic, we're going to do amazing when we get out.
That's
what I try to think is, you know, even though it's been unpredictable, we're hanging in there. We, you know, we're going to survive this and think about how amazing it's going to be when we all get through this.
Yeah, I love that positive, you know, attitude and outlook. I think it's so important. Is that something that you've worked hard to have, or is that something that you grew up with? You're I just didn't talking to you for a few short moments. You can just tell you're, you know, a glass is half full more, as that's really where any good outcomes or results are going to come from. There's nothing we can do about the circumstances. Everything we can do about how we react to them or who we become in the face of them. Is that something you learned, or is that something that you feel like you always had?
I think it's a combination. I had a very encouraging mother who, you know, almost to a fault was positive with me and would always look for the silver lining, would always look for how this was going to be a great experience, whether it be positive or maybe not so positive. And so I think it was a little of both. I do think that I have also a little bit of that nature personality of just being determined. And I think that's where some of the positive outlook comes from, is just that strong will to push forward. Yeah. And I think you have to stay positive, especially in 2020.
Especially in 2020. I couldn't agree more. But this notion of resiliency, is that, if someone were struggling in that area, what advice or what could you share with someone who maybe it doesn't feel as though it comes naturally? And, you know, God knows in 2020, I'm sure many listeners are faced with, you know, some kind of challenge in front of them and some thoughts of maybe it's time to give up, maybe it's time to change course. what would you share for someone who it maybe doesn't come so naturally for? What actions or what mental, you know, practices?
Well, I'm going to give you two that I was thinking about when I was listening to you ask that question, because this is what's worked for me. First of all, and this is a very practical suggestion, but I love listening to podcasts. And I think that that has really gotten me through a lot this year. And listening to positive podcasts, just podcasts that delve into mindset and resiliency, of course. And so that uplifts me on a regular basis. I listen to podcasts the entire time I'm in my car. Second, I would say that self-care is very important. And when I say self-care, I don't necessarily mean like getting a pedicure, but that can be a lot of self-care. But really thinking about your health, both mentally and physically, which I think has been challenged for a lot of us in 2020. And that's something recently I found is that my physical health, I wasn't taking as good of care of myself. And once I changed that and got back into exercising, it just helped so much. And so I think that would be the main two points that I would make.
Yeah, I think those are both incredible. You know, what we feed our minds with is so important. And then how we treat our body has such a big impact on our mind as well, that we forget about the connection between kind of mental health and physical health and how one affects the other so much. On a more selfish question, I look at all the things that you've accomplished, and you know, I want us to talk a little bit about your podcast that you've just launched. And it seems as though you've got four kids, you've got this like very full plate, and resilience and, you know, a positive outlook is great, but it will only take, I can imagine, can only take us so far. So how do you avoid burning out, or how do you know when enough is enough to what you should be putting on your plate, or where do you draw that balance? Like, are you done here? Is this just the beginning? How do you navigate that?
Well, it's tough, but I've definitely experienced that, especially in the last couple of months. We did get hit with COVID in our household, and I luckily was asymptomatic. I almost feel guilty because I don't understand it and I don't understand why. But my kids have been hit, and it hit them much worse than me. So we ended up being quarantined for a really long time, because when we figured out someone was over it, then I figured out I had it. And so I just stay at home longer. And so I, you know, it's kind of a little bit of a setback sometimes, and you just have to bounce back and just know, give yourself grace, and do not necessarily, you know, judge yourself for getting to a point where you couldn't get it all done for that week or month or whatever. And, you know, evaluate, does that mean that I need to take something else off my plate? And always prioritize. That's one of the things that I talk about on Legit Endeavors, is that you've really got to prioritize those activities that make the most impact and which are most helpful to you. And so that's how I look at my plate and see if there's something on there that may not be the highest priority, and maybe I need to consider taking it off the plate.
Yeah, I think that's really a great way to look at it. And I often too talk about priorities and you have to let some stuff go sometimes. So Legit Endeavors is recently launched. Tell me how that came to be. It sounds super interesting and like another kind of entrepreneurial venture. Was that something you had to really think about before launching, about adding that on your plate, or were you just really excited? How did that come to be?
It was a process for sure. And it is something that I would love to turn into a business at some point. Right now, it's more of a hobby and just something that I enjoy doing. But as I mentioned, I love podcasts. I'm kind of an addict. And so I always wanted to do a podcast. And part of it is, you know, being a lawyer, I'm the kind of lawyer that likes to talk. And so I I enjoy that. And so I was trying to think of something that would kind of incorporate all my areas of my life. Mm-hmm. And so Legit Endeavors came to be. I chose the name Legit Endeavors because I wanted it to have a legal component, but not be limited to mm-hmm. that only, because of course, mindset is really, really important. And from my days as a counselor, I just have a passion for encouraging people to, as we discussed earlier, take care of themselves mm-hmm. and realize how that impacts their life. And so we talk about all kinds of things, from how to make sure your business is legal and that you're not falling into some of those legal traps that you can get into, especially mm-hmm. early on. But then we also talk about things like resiliency and mindset and staying encouraged and all of those areas as well.
Oh, that's incredible. And so would you say your audience is small business owners, and then you focus kind of touch on all the areas? And it's yes. incredible that you have your legal background, because that's an important part that I think many small business owners don't personally know a lot about. So a lot of great content there. Well, that's incredible. And then you release an episode. Is it monthly or weekly at this point? How much of a hobby versus full-time is it?
Well, I started out weekly, and mm-hmm. then I did find whenever our schedule got disruptive that it was harder to stay with that. So recently I've been trying to do every other week. Right. And, you know, I think being on a regular schedule is so important, but I've also just tried to give myself grace and remember that nothing is normal this year, and yeah. it's okay. And even if it was another year, there's no reason to get so discouraged that you stop or think that all is lost because you haven't mm-hmm. kept up with it. So I've enjoyed it. It's been fun.
Yeah, that's so great. I mean, I'm obviously a big fan of podcasts myself. I certainly love the kind of content that you're talking about. So I look forward to checking it out. But just to go back to that point of kind of letting something go, or just this, I was having a conversation with a friend 2 days ago about the feeling of, like, you know, taking something off your plate, like you're quitting or you're kind of like stepping, you know, backwards. And I think you obviously have not kind of fallen into that trap, but many of us start to feel like guilty, or like we shouldn't be taking something off of our plate. We said we were going to do X, we should be able to follow through, and we start to pile all this stuff on top of ourselves. And the great conversation that we ended up having was just like to remember to keep our focus on, you know, the outcome of what you wanted, why you started it, why you're doing it. And it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, this vehicle that's going to get you there, or twice a week that's going to get you there, or once a week that's going to get you there. Just focusing on the outcome is really what's so important. And it can release some of that shame or guilt or, you know, feelings of not enoughness when we do decide, hey, you know what, this is too much on my plate right now. And I'm going to go back to, for this, you know, the sake of this example, go back to once every other week instead of once a week, and to be empowered by that decision. Yeah,
absolutely. And as you were speaking, I was thinking about times that I have done that mm-hmm. you take something off your plate and you feel guilty, or you somehow feel inadequate because you weren't able to do it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's tough, but we've got to work through those moments and realize that we're just doing the best we can. Yeah. And I think it was Brené Brown that said, when you look at others, a good way to have compassion is to remember that everyone's probably doing just the best they can. And so I try to remember that for myself yeah. too. We're harder on ourselves than we are anyone. So.
It's so true. I mean, for me personally, absolutely. I set a much higher bar for myself than I do. There's much more grace, you know, for others and compassion for others than oftentimes there is for myself. And I do the work to, you know, work my way through it as well. This has been so incredible. I am so, you know, proud of all of the things that you've decided to approach and take on, and all while, you know, having, you know, 4 kids and just painting a big picture for your life and then going after it. And I think that's such a strong example for so many of us, that you can just go after the things that you want right back from the beginning of your story as a single mom, going to law school, which I think is really kind of the epitome of the start of your kind of anything's possible journey. So if people want to learn more about you, if they want to learn more about your podcast or more about the work that you do, how can we find you?
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you, Carrie, for saying those encouraging words. I so appreciate that you feature women on this podcast and just love that. Listeners can find me at legitendeavors.com. I'm also on Instagram at Elizabeth_G_Hill. And you could probably just, you know, put in Elizabeth G. Hill and probably find me. But yeah, those are the best places to connect. I'd love to connect. And, you know, again, looking forward to all of this being over because everything's going to be so much better.
Amen to that. And for everyone listening at home, I'll make sure all of that goes into the show notes so you can easily link out to Elizabeth's contact. Again, Elizabeth, thank you for sharing your wisdom, your story, and just all, you know, all the luck and all the success and everything that you guys are doing. And I couldn't agree more. Here's to a much more peaceful 2021.
Thank you, Carrie. It was a pleasure to be here.
You're so welcome. And for everyone listening at home, this is going to be a wrap for today. So until next week, choose unstoppable. Thank you so much for listening today. It would mean the world to me if you enjoyed the content to please leave a review and a rating and subscribe to the show. It'll help others find us so that we can spread this important message. We'll see you in the next episode. Until then, choose unstoppable.